WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Suggesting that interest rate cuts are not imminent, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told the Senate Banking Committee it's also unwise to speculate on tariff policy. He's speaking a day after President Trump announced 25% tariffs on all imports of steel and aluminum. ABC's Karen Travers has more on the potential impacts.
It could have a significant impact on everyday items, things like cars and appliances, anything that comes in aluminum, like canned goods. But the White House says this is about boosting the domestic steel industry, that it's very important in this country for economic purposes and national security purposes to have a strong and robust steel industry.
Today, the president meets with the King of Jordan a day after threatening to cut off aid if Middle Eastern countries don't support his plan for Gaza. The Trump administration also continuing efforts to trim the size of the federal government. On social media, the president repeated his call for FEMA to be shut down, saying states should handle disasters. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Tammy Baldwin co-authored a bill to help Wisconsin dairy farmers improve their operations. Lisa Hale reports.
Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee have introduced the Dairy Business Innovation Act. It's designed to strengthen initiatives and help more producers and processors add value to their businesses. Baldwin says dairy producers in Wisconsin and across the country are facing challenges.
Throughout my time in Congress, I've worked hard to help them meet the challenges that they face. And look, right now, they face some pretty steep challenges. I hear from folks about how increased input costs are stretching their thin budgets and how lack of market access and workforce issues are all impacting folks' bottom line.
Baldwin says the dairy business initiatives have already helped hundreds of producers and processors improve.
To date, more than 250 farmers and processors in the Midwest have benefited from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. One of my favorite parts of being a United States Senator is seeing how these small grants can help our dairy farmers take their businesses to new heights.
She claims the Dairy Business Innovation Act will ensure these opportunities continue in the future.
This bipartisan legislation will make sure that this program is up and running in the years to come, and it gives a boost to its funding.
The new legislation would increase the program's annual funding from $20 million to $36 million. A companion to the bipartisan bill has been introduced in the House as well. I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News.
Today's forecast looks for a high of around 19 with a low tonight of around 8.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks drop one to Golden State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing at home to the Golden State Warriors, 125 to 111. Giannis still out with that calf muscle injury. Damian Lillard scored 38. And the new guy, Kyle Kuzma, added 21 points in the loss. Still, he says it's better than being with the Wizards that had only 8 wins on the season at the time he was traded to Milwaukee.
It's just a different brand of basketball, you know what I mean? And I think that over here, obviously, like, possession by possession matters. Trying to finish out the break strong matters. I think that's just the only real difference.
College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers faced number 7th-ranked Purdue in Indiana on Saturday at noon. The Badgers now ranked 16th in the nation after a string of wins. That's 2 better than Marquette, who dropped to 18th in the nation. They're at home tonight at Fiserv Forum against DePaul, trying to snap that 3-game losing streak. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and crisp today with high temperatures in the upper teens. Will become cloudy tonight with light snow moving in tomorrow morning. Becoming heavy at times, a good 2 to 4 inches is likely throughout the day. And expect another 1 to 2 at night. It'll be gone for Thursday with sunny skies and temperatures still in the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 12 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former police officer and podcaster Mark Motorson, who will discuss a fun true crime event at the Appleton Historical Society. And our pal film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to have an update on Gold Bar Bob.
Gold Bar Bob.
We haven't talked about him in months, and I feel like that was bad on our part.
We apologize.
So we're going to have an update on Gold Bar Bob. Bob Menendez, in case you're unfamiliar, former Democratic senator.
There it is.
Bob Menendez, and I don't know, finding a bunch of gold bars in his house like we all have. So we have a little update about him after the 11:30 news. Doobie Brothers, baby, coming back to Milwaukee. We're going to talk about that. And also, what is the one concert you really regret missing?
Yeah.
We'll wrap it all up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the J-E-L-L No edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Excited to be joined by our next guest with the Hunger Task Force. Matt King is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for joining us. I don't know if a lot of folks are aware of this, but Milwaukee struggles in some neighborhoods with food deserts, correct?
That's right. And for people who don't really know what that means, it's essentially a place or a neighborhood that has limited access to grocery stores or other sources of healthy and affordable food. Food deserts are typically characterized by a significant portion of the population being low income or living below the poverty line, and also having limited transportation.
And so they don't have many options as far as where they get foodstuffs. And unfortunately, a lot of times the closest place or the nearest place with anything is the gas station.
Yeah, there's really different ways, to measure it, whether it's like the distance to a market or their income threshold or, you know, how you really define healthy and affordable access. But I think the key is just to think about reasonable access. And in particular, I think this really ends up having a disproportionate effect on our seniors who have limited transportation, oftentimes to begin with. And then if they have any sort of mobility challenges or disabilities, it really exacerbates it.
Absolutely. So Hunger Task Force has something called the mobile market. What is the mobile market?
Yeah, so one of the solutions that we've developed in response to this issue is the mobile market, which is a partnership that we have with Piggly Wiggly. And it's essentially a grocery store on wheels that travels around the city, visiting neighborhoods and communities that have limited access to fresh and healthy foods. So Monday through Friday, it makes a couple stops a day. And along with other staples, the shelves are stocked with a healthy selection of fruits, vegetables, milk, chicken, beef, pork, deli meat, cheese, yogurt, and have all the healthy staples that you'd expect. And oftentimes we bring it to areas like senior residential facilities so that where there's a lot of low-income seniors without reasonable access to a market, and they can just come downstairs and shop on the mobile market. We do offer a discount, so it's 25% off of the grocery store prices. Wow. So we also kind of augment it, you know, with a discount to make it accessible.
I think, Matt, for some folks who might be listening, it's like, well, don't these people have kids? Don't they have grandchildren who can go grocery shopping for them? There are a lot of people who don't have anybody, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And a lot of times they do have that. And they use the mobile market, you know, just to kind of get a few things in between that help that they get from their family. But yeah, we do know, of course, that a lot of seniors are on their own. And not only that, they are on a fixed income. And as the prices around us have all skyrocketed, they find themselves making tough decisions between their medication and the healthy food that they need.
Do you find when we're talking about food deserts, there are some people out there who are so ingrained in food deserts, they might even not know the best foods to buy. You're talking about healthy foods, fruits and vegetables, you know, your dairies and your meats. Do you find the people who are running the mobile markets are also, in a way, teaching people, like, here are the best foods for you to buy, here's what you can do with them, here's what you can make to make it last longer, things like that? Is there even a teaching component to it for those who may not have experience going grocery shopping on a regular basis?
Yeah, I know that's a really thoughtful point, and we also consider that. We do have nutrition education that is a component of the mobile market. So there's even times where, you know, kind of like if you're at Costco and you're tasting things as you shop, that yeah. will have, you know, healthy recipes that are already prepared. So then people get a taste for how they can use some of the components that are available on the mobile market to make a healthy recipe that not only is healthy, but also tastes good.
If you're just joining us, Matt King is on the line with us from the Hunger Task Force, and we're talking about the Hunger Task Force mobile market. Who is eligible for this, Matt? Who can take advantage of this mobile market?
Yeah, so the mobile market's available to anybody to shop at, but we do also accept SNAP, or in Wisconsin, what's food share, also known as food stamps. So we do accept that. It accepts debit cards, credit cards. There's no cash, just, you know, for security as it's traveling around the city. But yeah, it is accessible to anyone. And actually, this past year in 2024, we had just shy of 13,000 people that shopped on the mobile market.
I would imagine that you've only seen the need increase.
Yeah, the need has really risen in particular over the last few years, you know, as we saw the end of all of the, you know, pandemic era resources and benefits, but then compounded by the inflation, you know, that we've all experienced, and, you know, virtually the high cost of everything. But in particular, the number one thing that people are saying about why they are seeking help with food is the cost of housing, and how dramatically the cost of housing has gone up. And, you know, for parents with kids, they oftentimes they're going to make the decision to keep the roof over the head and skip meals. And that's the reality.
You can see stories of parents who are skipping meals to feed their children, like all these awful decisions they have to make. Is it the one vehicle, or do you have more than one going through the neighborhoods?
So we have one vehicle. It makes two stops a day. So there's 35 different stops each month currently. And people can, if they want to know where they can find it, they can go to hungertaskforce.org. And we have a full list of all the stops where they can access it.
Among some of your stops, and I'm just looking at the calendar that you have the Penfield Children's Center. You also have the Thompson Meadows Apartments in St. Francis. So you really do travel all mm-hmm. over the place to be accessible to as many folks as possible. We're talking to Matt King from the Hunger Task Force about their mobile market, which is open to everyone, and we will include a link in our show notes. If you have any questions about this, just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matt Nair on air, and that will take you to our show notes for that day. And Greg puts all the links in so you can check this out for yourself. I'm wondering, Matt, how concerned you are at Hunger Task Force. And you may not know this off the top of your head, but do you get a lot of federal funding, a lot of federal aid to run the Hunger Task Force?
Yeah, Hunger Task Force does not rely upon federal funding to operate. But what would really affect our work is cuts to school meal programs, which is something that's being considered right now at the federal level. Making changes to the accessibility of school breakfast and school lunches. And, you know, the last thing we need right now is to see a spike in childhood hunger across the country.
This is it's already a terrible problem, childhood hunger. And now we're talking about getting rid of free breakfast and lunches at schools, which is only going to exacerbate this problem. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. And I mean, we all know that poor nutrition has a significant impact on cognitive development and children's ability to learn. And so nutrition's key to setting our kids up for success. And for areas like Milwaukee that has high childhood poverty rate, it would be really devastating to see, you know, that kind of effect on kids' ability to, you know, transcend those circumstances that they're born into and use education as a vehicle, you know, to advance out of it.
Matt, in about the 2 minutes that we have left, no organization like the Hunger Task Force is able to operate without volunteers. So if you want to volunteer for the Hunger Task Force, what are some of the options available for folks who might be listening?
Yeah, we utilize volunteers throughout the year. We rely heavily on community support. We incorporate over 15,000 volunteers on an annual basis, doing everything from packing food boxes for our local seniors, to working at the mobile market, to harvesting the fresh produce on our farm. Really across the board, we incorporate volunteers, and people can go to hungertaskforce.org, click on the volunteer tab if they're interested in learning more, sharing it with others, or signing up yourself.
We talk about this quite a bit, Matt. You know, we always talk about loneliness in this country and how that is a growing problem. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the greatest ways to help alleviate some of that is joining an organization like Hunger Task Force. It gets you out of the house. It gets you among other folks, doing something good for the community. And I just think that that's a win-win right. for everybody.
Yeah, it feels good to give back. And we really see our volunteers kind of developing a bond with each other. So it's a great social experience as well.
Matt King, rather, from the Hunger Task Force, thank you so very much for your time. Check out our show notes after the show is over, civicmedia.us. Click on Matt Nair on air. Matt King, thank you for your time. Stay close. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro-wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is why I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Golden dreams of you.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 11:30 news, we will lighten it up for the last half hour of the show. Doobie Brothers are coming to town. Four original members.
Mostly-ish. They've been in the band for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you pulled up how many people have been in the Doobie Brothers over the years. It's like several thousand.
Yeah, folks, if you're listening to this, you get to be in the Doobie Brothers like next week.
So. Seriously. So we're going to talk about that. And then the concert you regret missing the most.
Yeah.
And I have one, probably two, that, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have skipped that one.
Oh, I have the concert. It's been with me since 1994.
Oh, driving him crazy. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we have been meaning to do this for a while.
Yep.
It is important. I do think it's important because we can contrast and compare.
Yes.
How political parties treat their own members when they do something naughty.
And also for people who come at us saying, you never talk about liberals and
that's not
Democrats.
True.
Wrongo.
Headline reads, former U.S. Senator Robert Menendez sentenced to 11 years in prison for bribery, foreign agent, and obstruction offenses. This is from justice.gov. Two New Jersey businessmen who paid out bribes were also sentenced to 97 months and 7 years in prison. If you don't remember this as well as we do, just a little refresher. Bob Menendez, a Democratic senator from New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
was in trouble for essentially working on behalf of the Egyptian government.
Yeah.
Which you're not supposed to do.
Random country, by the way, right?
Well, like, I think his wife had connections.
Yeah.
That's how that all happened.
Okay.
But when they started investigating old Gold Bar Bob, they found he accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of bribes from these three guys who were working on behalf of the Egyptian government. These included gold bars, cash, a luxury convertible, payments toward his wife's mortgage, compensation for a low or no show job for his wife, home furnishings, and other things of value. When they raided his house, they found almost $500,000 in cash stuffed into envelopes and hidden in clothing, closets, and a safe. Many of the envelopes contained the fingerprints of Gold Bar Bob. Agents also found home furnishings, a luxury vehicle, and over $100,000 worth of gold bars in his home. Do you remember what he said at the time that they found all that stuff?
Doesn't everybody do that?
He came from a poor childhood.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's important for him to have cash on hand in case something goes wrong.
Okay. You know what? Viable excuse.
To an extent.
But I am two generations away from the Great Depression. I remember stories that my grandma would tell us about when she died. We found saran wrap socked away, clothespins socked away, cash socked away, because you never knew. I understand that thinking with Gold Bar Bob to a point.
To a point.
But when we're talking about $100,000 in gold and cash.
Almost $1 million in cash.
I mean, sorry, but you aren't suffering. Let me put it this way. Bob Menendez, you don't live the you never know lifestyle. Well, you do now because you farted around and you found out. But before they kicked in the door, you weren't living the lifestyle. This could all go away tomorrow.
I could lose it all.
I could lose all of my gold bars.
Yeah. And again, just as a reminder,
yeah,
when this came out, Democrats called for him to step down.
One of the first people to call for him to step down was his colleague from New Jersey, Senator Cory Booker.
Yeah.
He said step down. It was overwhelming to the point where the Republicans were even like, Bush does not say anything. Let's let them handle this. There wasn't really an outcry from Republicans on this because at the time they were also dealing with what's-his-face from New York, George Santos. Well, that's probably one of his names as well. But, there was a lot going on with them. So when Menendez came around, the Democrats were like, leave. Get out.
We don't want you.
Yeah. And then he became an independent.
That didn't help him either.
No.
On the flip side, Steve Bannon, of course, former top White House aide to President Donald Trump, pleaded guilty today in connection with defrauding hundreds of thousands of Trump supporters who contributed more than $15 million to Steve Bannon's promise to build a wall on the U.S. border. The 71-year-old Steve Bannon, sentenced to 3 years of conditional discharge, meaning he won't serve any prison time.
No.
This is part of a plea deal.
Yeah.
I don't remember any Republicans coming out and saying Steve Bannon needs to go to prison for defrauding Donald Trump's own supporters and buying a yacht.
Yeah.
Silence.
No, of course.
Nothing. There was nothing.
No.
No outrage. I guess that's just Steve.
It's just what happens. I mean, Jane, I don't know. I don't know those details. So I'm going to have to look into that. I'll have to get back to you on it.
Right. But do some research.
But Jane, do not worry. Do not worry. Just this day, either yesterday or this morning, Donald Trump signed an executive order directing the DOJ to halt the enforcement of anti-laws for foreign officials. So, Bob Menendez, you may be looking at yourself a very shiny pardon.
Boy, I hadn't thought about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Trump administration just essentially said, go ahead, if you have an American business, bribe some overseas officials to get what you want. No problem.
Yep.
Go for it.
Yep.
Blessings. Blessings.
Be blessed.
Be blessings. Be blessed. Blessings.
So, Bob Menendez is sitting there in prison going, oh, baby, I can't wait to become a Republican.
Here's my chance. Oh. We could put bets on that.
Okay, so today is the 11th of February. It's Tuesday. It is Central Time. It is 11:28. Just remember this time and day.
How long is it going to take?
Before he gets pardoned and before he becomes a Republican and before he runs for office again.
News is coming up next. Then we're talking the one concert you really regret missing. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. We go global if you have the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Abundant Life Recovery Fund has now reached more than $500,000. That's according to the United Way, which is hosting the fundraiser. The principal of Abundant Life says they have a plan for how they're going to use the money. They'll start by paying for anything the families who lost loved ones in the December 16th shooting could need. Then they'll use the money to help those injured pay medical bills. And lastly, they'll use whatever is left over to provide mental health resources so the whole Abundant Life community can heal. Average gas prices are up 4.3 cents from last week for an average of $2.92. This is 11.9 cents higher than last month, but 16 cents lower than this time last year. Prices across Wisconsin range from 283 to 309. Crude oil inventories are below the five-year average for this time of year, but domestic crude oil production rose to 13.478 million barrels per day. Gasoline inventories increased slightly in the Midwest, which could cause prices to possibly come down slightly. Rockwell Automation Incorporated reported fiscal first quarter net income of $184 million. The company said it had net income of $1.61 per share. Earnings adjusted for non-recurring costs came to $1.83 per share. The results beat Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of eight analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $1.61 per share. The industrial equipment and software maker posted revenue of $1.88 billion in the period, also topping Street forecasts. Six analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $1.87 billion. Rockwell Automation expects full-year earnings in the range of $8.60 to $9.80 per share.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dogman, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number two and three from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number four with just under $4 million in its eighth week of release and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top five is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its second week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly sunny and crisp today with high temperatures in the upper teens. Will become cloudy tonight with light snow moving in tomorrow morning. Becoming heavy at times, a good 2 to 4 inches is likely throughout the day. And expect another 1 to 2 at night. It'll be gone for Thursday with sunny skies and temperatures still in the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 14.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers is on a vacation, so it'll be Tuesday Tangents with you and Aaron Zommers. And headlines of the day, be with us then. And what's worse, we'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call and or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. Coming up in about 15 minutes, last segment of the show, we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Last half hour of the show, we like to lighten things up a little bit.
Yeah.
So we can all take a breath.
We got to take a breath.
Take a breath. A little audio sorbet.
Ooh, you know what?
You like that?
I really think that, and hey.
T-shirt, maybe?
Hey, other Civic Media shows, that's ours. I'm looking right at you, Dom Salvia.
Matt and Air on Air, audio sorbet. We'll work on the T-shirts and the merch. But saw this in the Journal Sentinel this morning from Chris Foran. Doobie Brothers, Coral Reefer Band, going to play AmFam Amphitheater this summer. 4 years after bringing their 50th anniversary tour to the BMO Pavilion, the Doobies coming back to the Meyer Festival Park on a much larger stage. They have a new album.
Yeah.
The Doobie Brothers have a new album called Walk This Road coming out in June. So they're going to hit the AmFam Amphitheater on September 9th, and the tickets go on sale to the general public this Friday. Pre-sales 10 a.m. today. So they're already pre-sales, already on sale at thedoobiebrothers.com.
Hey, Doobie Brothers, you want to come on the radio and talk about your new album and tour? You can do that. We would love to come to your location in Milwaukee when you're here. Just throw some tickets our way. It's fine.
Michael McDonald, if you're listening, you're welcome on the show anytime.
Michael McDonald, do you want to talk to Jane and Greg in the morning?
Pat Kratlow, huge fan of the Doobie Brothers.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be very excited about this.
I really think that we need to go.
I'd love to go to
that
show.
I think we really need to go.
September 9th, when the Doobies going to be back in town, and Michael McDonald is still part of the lineup. Three others, kind of the anchors of the Doobies.
So Michael McDonald returned to the band a few years ago for their reunion tour.
Right.
They were celebrating 50 years as a band.
Right.
And because he left the group in the mid-80s because he just got so popular as a solo artist. But the four guys who are the main ones now, it's Michael McDonald, two gentlemen who have been in the band like since the beginning.
Cool.
I can't remember their names right now. And then another guy who's been in since the 80s. So this is like a real reunion tour. This is like we see these reunion tours where it's like, oh, hey, look, it's Don Henley and company.
Yeah.
No offense to Timothy B. Schmidt and Joe Walsh, but like.
It shouldn't be, you know, Michael McDonald and his cousins.
Yeah. Like when they fired Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, I'm like, oh, that's it. The band's done. Oh, no, they got four new members. That's just okay, cool. As Pete Townsend once called it, in the 80s, we were the Who on ice. Because it was just a big spectacle at that point. It really wasn't about the band members. When I go see a band, I want to see the band members. Then it just turns into what can be a state fair type of show. It doesn't matter who's playing the music.
Right.
They're just playing the music you like.
Right.
It's not about seeing
these
individuals.
The original guys. So I guess this leads us to our question about what concert do you regret missing out on?
Okay.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is the one concert you still go, I wish I had gone to that show. Tom from Jackson texting in on WAUK. I miss Tom Petty. Darn. I have friends who were at that show who said it was the best show they'd ever seen.
Tom Petty was one of those guys, and I think anyone who missed him will agree. You always said this. He'll be back next year. He comes every year. It's fine. And then I remember the first, like, and that was like, I think that was the year that all of these artists were dying, like Prince. Lemmy, David Bowie, Tom Petty, all these guys were going, and you're just like, oh, I could have gone.
I should have gone.
And that was sort of before concert tickets were just offensively expensive, too. Yeah. It was expensive to see Tom Petty, but now, if he was touring now, if he was still alive, those tickets would probably be $200 a piece, because he's Tom Petty.
Yeah. Patrick from the 608, listening in Madison on WMDX, the concert I regret missing, U2, the Zoo Tour.
Oh, that was 1991, I believe, at Camp Randall Stadium.
Oh, at Camp Randall.
Yeah, and that was like a full-on multimedia experience, too. This was not just like four guys from Ireland singing songs of woe and
it was a show.
It was like basically Vegas type of thing.
Len from Madison, the Doobie Brothers are still smoking. I agree with you. Absolutely. Cam from Appleton, I wish I didn't go to Van Halen.
yeah. I mean, that's the same. But you know what's funny is the same thing from people who go see Motley Crue. If you look on YouTube, you can see. So Vince Neil is still in the band. He can't sing. And when I say he can't sing, Jane, I don't mean like he's going sharps and flats. I mean, he'll be like, bah!
Oh, he's really lost his voice.
It's gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's really gone. I do take issue with John from West Bend listening to WAUK. He said the best part of the Doobie Brothers concert is the opening band, Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reef Band. Disagree.
You can disagree.
It's the Doobie Brothers who are going to be great. I think it's very weird that Jimmy Buffett's band is touring just because I didn't know that they were a...
Jimmy would want that.
True.
Jimmy would want that.
Make your money, guys. Make your money.
855-752-4842. What concert did you miss? And you go, I wish I had seen that show. Whistler is on the line from Richland Center. I love your name. Good morning, Whistler. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I just wanted to say the Newby Brothers, back in 74, I had the opportunity to attend the Rolling Stones concert, July 4th, 1974, in Dallas.
Yeah.
And the Doobie Brothers and the Eagles were one of the lead-ups to the Stones.
Oh! Oh, that would...
1974, I believe, after I got out of the service.
Oh, we lose you, Whistler?
I don't know. I'm here.
Oh, there you are.
Okay, so did you go to the show or not?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I was living in Corpus Christi, Texas, and this lady friend had tickets, and we drove up to Dallas. It was awesome.
Oh, nice. That must have been an incredible show. Thank you, Whistler. That must have been fantastic.
Matt from Middleton listening in says, I had tickets to Faith No More in Austin. Very, very amazing band. Didn't go because I was seeing music so often live living there. Complete regret. Yeah, that can be the thing too. When you go to so many concerts, you might think,
I can skip that one, right?
Yep.
855-752-4842. What show did you miss? And you're like, that was a mistake. Rick from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Rick. Which concert did you pass over?
Well, there's a few of them. I got martial arrest at Summerfest when they had a riot. I think it was Chicago. It stormed and they closed it down. Then there was Sly and the Family Stone at Summerfest. Sly never showed up.
That makes
sense. He was late like 27 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. So he sat there forever and he never showed up. Finally, they said he's not gonna.
But she
didn't give up, Rick.
Yeah, and I think you know the Doobie Brothers. If you have any connections in Chicago with the Chicago band, they perform together a lot.
I have no connections.
Well, we'll work on that, yeah. Rick. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Rick. 855-752-4842. What concert did you pass over? And you're like, that was a mistake. Tom from Jackson, I didn't get to see Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, and Animals at County Stadium. Tom, I was at the Animal show.
He did or didn't? He said, I did get to see.
Oh, I did get to see. Tom, you and I were at the Animal show.
So that's so amazing because that's my concert, 1994, Pink Floyd touring on the Pulse tour. They came to Camp Randall. It was one of like the last Camp Randall shows that happened. And my parents wouldn't let me go because they were going out of town that weekend and they were afraid. And talk about a situation where you'd be like, all right, I won't go. And you go, I should have went. They wouldn't have known unless something happened. But I didn't see Pink Floyd. And then one of the, that is the biggest concert regret of my life because they never toured again.
They never came back. If you would like to join us, what concert did you miss and you still regret it? Al from Waukesha is on the line. Good morning, Al. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, turn down your radio,
Al. Turn down your radio. I'm getting a little feedback there. Al? Hello, right. Al.
Well,
we'll move on to Jack. Yeah. Al, you're there.
There you are.
Yeah.
What's your show?
The Beatles in Milwaukee.
Were you there or you missed it?
I missed it.
Did you have tickets?
13. No.
Oh, okay.
But I was a big Beatles fan and still am.
My aunt.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate you checking in.
My aunt Barbara was at that show. She saw the Beatles in Milwaukee when they were here.
I know my oldest sisters wanted to.
So what she actually saw was a theater full of screaming. She didn't hear so much the Beatles. I got a text from a friend and a listener, Caitlin, listening in Milwaukee. She says, I didn't really have a choice in missing the 2020 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony of the class, including Nine Inch Nails, Notorious B.I.G., the Doobie Brothers, Whitney Houston, T-Rex. She had tickets, and then COVID happened. She would have loved to have seen some of those reunion performances.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I bet.
Absolutely.
What concert did you pass over that you will always regret? What was the show? 855-752-4842. Carrie, listening in Madison on WMDX. Grateful Dead, summer of 1995. Oh, yeah. I said no, and then Jerry died.
Well, you can still see him now.
My biggest regret ever.
Yeah, that was a big one. Oh, yeah.
Ross from Crawford County, listening on WRCE. I had so many chances to see the Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton and just didn't quite make it. I still kind of regret that. The one that I think about the most was the Eagles.
Yeah.
And they hadn't been touring for a while, mm-hmm. and then they came back out on tour, and at that point, they were charging something like $200 a ticket.
Yep.
I was so ticked off about that.
Absolutely.
I called it the greed tour.
Yeah.
And I refused to go.
I mean,
I would love to have seen the Eagles.
I mean, I don't even imagine how much Eagle tickets cost now.
Right.
$200 back then is expensive. It's expensive now, but it's absolutely like just ridiculous, though. excuse me. Sarah in Green Bay says Page and Plant in Milwaukee, 1995. My sister had tickets. Her car broke down.
Oh, no.
We didn't have a ride. Oh.
So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Oh, yeah. There's so many good. And now it's like at the point where I won't go see a concert unless I love the band so much. I'm willing to spend the money and take the time to be in a room full of people.
And that's it. The whole huge crowd thing is not a draw for me.
Agreed.
So it would take a whole lot of love.
If the Doobies said we're never touring again and Michael McDonald's like, this is my last tour, I think I want to go to this show, but I'm not sure yet.
We're going to go.
Okay.
We're going to go.
All right.
Jack from Merrimack, you're going to wrap it up. We just got about a minute and a half left. Jack, what did you want to say?
Many years ago, I got tickets to a Grateful Dead concert. And one of their early concerts, actually. And at dinner that night, my girlfriend had baked me, both of us, actually, a bunch of coconut crunch brownies. Except the coconut wasn't coconut. Coconut, we had a ride there. That's a concert I missed, and I wish I had not.
Jack, why didn't you go to the concert? Dessert.
Don't take the coconut brownies, man.
Yeah,
avoid the coconut brownies. Thank you so much, Jack. Really appreciate it. All right, we are out of time. When we return, we're going to wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the J-E-L-L, no, edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
News from the Center, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about concerts you missed and you wish you hadn't. Brought this up because the Doobie Brothers are going to be coming back.
Yeah.
Very excited. We're going to go.
Okay.
I want to go to that
show.
Me,
you, and Kreitlow?
Yeah. I think that would be great. But we had one more text come in that I wanted to share. Donna from DeForest, listening on WAUK. My dad had tickets to see the Bee Gees at Madison Coliseum in the late 70s. He was driving home past the venue, saw the crowd streaming out, and realized he forgot to go.
Oh, and that, folks, if we're talking late 70s, that's the height of Bee Gees, like, Saturday Night Fever sound.
Absolutely.
Which is so good.
Yeah.
Anyone who tells you disco sucks, not your friend.
It was of the time. There was a place for it.
But it's still good today. It still has that good beat, that good danceability. There's still, there's no, oh,
can't,
I love disco.
Can't beat the Bee Gees.
Exactly.
Coming up tomorrow, Jim Santel, our colleague here at Civic Media and host of Amicus, a law review, is going to join us at 10:33 to talk about the legalities or potential illegalities of the first 3 weeks in this new Trump administration. Dan Schaefer, who normally joins us on Fridays, will be here tomorrow. He's taking Friday off, so we'll have a lot to talk about with Dan Schaefer. That is all coming up tomorrow. Right now, though, it's 11:53. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Jane says at civicmedia.us. This from the New York Post byline, Tracy Swartz. Headline reads, I've lost 30 pounds on a diet of butter, meat, and golden Jell-O.
Ugh.
I also no longer have gas or have brain fog. Okay.
Says no. At all.
A vegan turned carnivore is sharing now that her high fat diet caused her to lose 30 pounds also cleared up cystic acne, psoriasis, and eczema, and extinguished her gaseousness, brain fog, and PMS.
Paid off my school loans, made up with a bully from grade school.
It's amazing.
It does everything.
Juilliard trained concert pianist Isabella Ma bit into a stick of cold, unsalted butter as she explained her secret to weight loss on TikTok. She pairs baked chicken wings and 80-20 burgers, so it's 80% lean and 20% fat, with butter and the special golden jello recipe.
Oh, please, Jane, inform us of what goes inside the golden jello.
Golden jello is made by placing oxtail and chicken drums in a pressure cooker for about an hour. You take out the meat. The remains are chilled in a refrigerator overnight to form a collagen-filled gelatinous bone broth. From what I understand, it's basically aspic. It's meat.
Watch your mouth.
It's meat juice jello.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah.
A previous version of her diet plan included sunny side up eggs, fried in beef fat, and sparkling water. She says she embraced the carnivore lifestyle in 2019. This has become more popular. The one thing this does, though, that you need to keep in mind if you're thinking about, ooh, I'm going to try this. Red meat, butter, and cheese are very high in saturated fat that can really spike your LDL cholesterol,
yep,
which raises the risk of heart disease and stroke.
Yep.
We do need fruits and veggies, you guys. There are things in there that are good for us.
No, we don't, Jay, because they've got unnecessary fats in them that you don't want in your body. I heard that once on a TikTok from a girl who played piano.
Are you eating your jello like that as it is? Said one commenter on her TikTok. I cannot stomach the smell and taste. Another person said, good job at contributing to one of the most polluting industries, talking about the meat industry, I assume. Yeah. A carnivore diet is so selfish. Our earth is dying. Again, you do what you want. You research it. Golden jello, meat jello is a hard no from me.
You know how the age-old idea that vegans are insufferable, which isn't really true. I know a lot of vegans, and I used to be a vegan, and I never pushed it on anybody. The only more insufferable vegan is the vegan who stops being a vegan and tells you how much better it is not being a vegan.
My life is so much better
eating
now.
All the meat in the world.
Eating a stick of butter and beef and then meat jello.
We got to put a Google alert on this name because, and I don't want anything bad to happen to her, but this is the kind of diet that would be like, influencer found like dead in bedroom surrounded by butter.
By meat jello.
Yeah.
And sticks of butter.
Yeah.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, noon to 2, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4, Dom Salvia, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m., Bach in the Dock, early morning, 6 to 8 this week. That's join Greg and Dr. Kristen Lionerly from 6 to 8 a.m. And then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Don't forget, we have weather coming in tomorrow.
Yes.
511wi.gov. Mm-hmm. Check that website. Download the app so you can check on road conditions. They're talking about 5 to 9 inches. So we will keep you updated on that. Please be careful. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and listening. It's so much fun, and it absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn as judgments continue to mount up against the Trump administration. Also, why is the DOJ dropping criminal corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump and Jordan's King Abdullah are meeting at the White House. Mr. Trump is pressuring Arab nations to take in refugees from Gaza. Israel beefing up troops around Gaza. Supporting what could trigger legal trouble, Vice President J.D. Vance. ABC's Jay O'Brien.
Vance essentially opening the door there for the administration to defy orders from federal judges if they view them as getting in the way of the executive branch exercising what the administration says is its legitimate power. Democrats worry that that could tee up a constitutional crisis.
As the Justice Department moves to drop the bribery case against New York City Mayor Eric Adams, the mayor just talked minutes ago.
I never ask anyone to break the law on my behalf or on behalf of my campaign. Never. And I absolutely never traded my power as an elected official for any personal benefit.
This is ABC News.